This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the October 12th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And we're here here to close the gap. That, when I say that, I mean the gap between your present portfolio and achieving your goal. Close that knowledge gap so we can get to your goal. Maybe that gap can be filled by information that we can provide. Maybe you need to improve your fundamental investing skills. Maybe that gap needs to be filled by a more clearly defined plan. Whatever it is, we're here to help. So what's our plan for today? When it comes to investment products, the ones that get the least attention often turn out to be the best, gives you the best returns. That's according to Morningstar. Target-dated funds, the right choice, if, and that's going to be our talking point. But before we get to any of that other business, let's go ahead and turn to the phones. You drive the conversation with your questions. I try to answer them live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listen line at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to your show on podcast. I'd like to know your valuation for Waste Management and what you think of the stock. And also, on a previous show, you were explaining how to value a stock. Is it the earnings per share times the growth rate where you get the valuation of where stocks should be trading at? Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, that last one is just one method of evaluating a stock. And what it is, it's the future earnings per share, the estimated earnings per share next year, not this year, next year, next year's earnings per share estimate times the growth rate. So if it's going to grow its earnings by 20%, you multiply next year's earnings per share estimate by 20, and that'll give you the price of the stock. That works on the middle part of the market, not the very high growth stocks or not the very low growth stocks. You know, doesn't work on those extremes. And it's just a rough estimate, a quick and dirty estimate. Waste Management, symbol is WM, provides waste collection, disposal, and recycling services in the U.S. and Canada. $34 billion company. It's big. It's growing about 7%, has been 7% a quarter for the last year. Every quarter, pretty steady. Makes $3.49 next year after making $3.19 this year, and that is up 10%. And so it's growing, it's earning about 10% a year. And it's, you know, so taking my growth rate, which is 10%, multiplied times next year's earnings of $3.49, so the stock is worth $35, $34.90. But it's a huge company, $33 billion, so it doesn't really work that well. But that is a good ballpark estimate of what it is, and it's a $76.92. That tells you that it's high on its P.E., what is the range of its PE in the last 5 years? 16 to 26, and it's at 25 now. Next year, it'll be at 22. So it's not, you know, it's on the higher end of the range. So looking at that way for what it's worth is also a bit expensive. So the question answers itself. It's pretty expensive. Pays a 2.2% dividend. It has a goodly amount of debt. And for me, it's had a nice run in the chart. I wouldn't buy it. It's too expensive. This is not an exciting growth business. It's growing, but it's growing slow. So it shouldn't get more than a market PE, which is about 15, 16, which is the low of the five-year range for this company. That's what I wouldn't pay more than that. Just wouldn't. If you notice, a lot of people are calling, and I'm telling you a lot of the time, so the stock is overvalued. I've gone through this a couple of times in the last 20 years. In 1999, every call that came in, I would say the stock is overvalued. And everybody thought that I didn't know what I was doing because everything was overvalued and I was saying I wouldn't buy it. Same thing happened in 2008. I would say it seems like that's kind of pricey. 2007, maybe before the crash, 2007. And I was talking about selling real estate in 2006, and everybody thought I was crazy doing that too, and I sold all my real estate back then. So it's not that you don't have to be a genius. All you do is say, look, the average values of these things are not what they are today. And someone's going to call me up and say, well, you're just old-fashioned, or you're just, you know, that's the old way to look at things. You know, things are worth more these days. And as soon as I hear that, I know it's over. I know it's over soon today, because I heard that story before too. It's different this time. Uh-huh, right. Welcome to this October 12th edition of Invest Talk, everybody. Love to talk to you. We're going to go to Will here. I didn't see Will. Okay, there he is. Hi, Will, San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I've got a question before we get into the stock, and I know I'm looking at this stock because it was purchased earlier this year by Warren Buffett and the Berkshire Hathaway. And is that a good idea to try and follow these famous investors and buy what they buy?
I would say yes when you're talking about Warren Buffett, because that has worked out well for people. But remember, Warren has this attitude, Will, of buying and holding forever. I mean, that's his holding period. It's not, he doesn't have any intention of selling. And you'll see that he tends to buy less when the market's more expensive. You'll see him be a lot more active in a recession buying.
Right, correct.
So if you can follow that, yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah. Well, the ticker symbol is LNXSF, and it's a foreign company, and I'm wondering if you have any data on it.
I do not. Anytime you have a symbol with an F on the end, everybody, Will, it tells you it's foreign, okay? And it can be traded on our exchange as an ADR, so I tried. Do you have the name, and I can type in the name?
Oh, I don't recall it right now.
Okay. Let me try one more thing. /F. Yeah, not getting anything on it. Sorry. I can't answer the question.
Can I give you another symbol?
Land X's. Let me try that. Hold on. LANXESS. Huh. Nope, not getting it. Sorry. Have no data on it, Will. I apologize. Thank you for the call.
Okay, no problem.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't, you know, the foreign stocks, if they're traded on our exchanges as an ADR, American Depository Receipt, I then can look them up under the ADR symbol. But if it's a foreign stock not traded here, I can't look them up because I have only American U.S. data. Targeted funds, a right choice if, and what is that if? That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, I want to talk about what to do if everything is too expensive. What should you do? If you're an investor, what do you do if everything is too expensive? So I'm going to give you some advice, and I think you'll be surprised. How much money is enough money for retirement? How much is enough? Well, we'll talk to them about that too. And what is an inverse ETF? And should you be buying them? What is an inverse ETF? Those are going to be the main talking points today. The market went down 32 points on the Dow, down 12 points on the NASDAQ, down 4 points on the S&P, and pretty much you got to say that that's not much. That's just really a non-event. I've been quoting and telling you about stocks up and down on volume. There were 50 stocks up on volume today. In other words, excess volume, not just normal volume, on more than normal volume, and 191 stocks down on more than normal volume. So what I'm trying to point out is, over these recent weeks, is there's a lot more stocks going down on higher volume than there are stocks going up on higher volume. Therefore, the market is very narrow, getting narrower, because it keeps happening. I can't tell you the last time there was more stocks up on volume than down on volume. And that's really what you're looking for a healthy market, a broad-based rally. But you don't have that yet. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We talked about scams against the elderly yesterday. One is fake phone calls, the jury duty manager, the puppy breeder, the utility company. Can you spot an imposter? 85% of adults are confident they can, according to a recent AARP survey. But the majority of the survey participants then flunked an imposter IQ test. So maybe that's not so. Listen to Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART for any of your questions. That's the number. So I'd love to talk to you. Whenever you get a chance, give me a call. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Now, target dated funds. You know, I don't care for them for several reasons. But for many people, they may be just fine. I'm not saying that you should never use them. And you've heard my complaints about target dated funds. And that is because they kind of ignore the reality of the market that you're in. Even when you're approaching retirement, they just keep adding more and more bonds when, in fact, that might be the absolute worst thing to do because of the circumstances of the economy, the Federal Reserve, the interest rates. You know, so I just don't like it that it just does it automatically. I think the concept is good. You get more conservative as you get older. It makes perfect sense to me. But how you do that, I don't care for the formulas that they just plug in and not consider what's really going on. But I'll tell you this, it has been proven over and over and over again that if you buy a fund, buy an index fund, or even now these target dated funds, and you just stay with them, you'll do just fine. But you got to stay with them for years, a decade or more, not a year or two or three, a decade or more. You got to stay with them a long period of time, and they work. So, in that sense, I kind of like them. If you know, they kind of force people's hands to hold on to them because they have it in their mind that, oh, I don't touch this until I retire. My target date is 2030, so I can't do anything. See, some people think they can't do anything when they buy that, which is, of course, not true. It's your money; you can invest and change anytime you want. But you know, with that mindset, they ride through all the hard times, and that's really the key, riding through the hard times without panicking out of the market. Can you do that? Because that's what you should be doing. You know, don't panic. You shouldn't react to the market as it's happening. In other words, the emotion of the day, of the minute, of the hour. You shouldn't be reacting to the emotion. You should have already reacted. And whatever that means to you could mean doing nothing. Okay, it could mean rebalancing. It could mean, you know, even taking, you know, going to some cash. But that should be done in a cold, hard facts of a non-panic situation, a more emotionless situation that you're in. Okay, what should I do today? I know what the market's done. It's gone up really high. I've done well. What should I do? Should I just leave it alone? Should I rebalance? Should I take some profits here? See, that's the kind of process, a slow, mental, don't panic in a huff a lot of times people panic and they don't realize they panic until after the fact. Oh, I shouldn't have got out. Oh, I shouldn't have put all my money in. And, you know, people panic in too, thinking they're missing out. That's not how you invest. You go looking for good, solid companies with great fundamentals that are not too expensive. That's it. It's not rocket science. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Here's a money IQ quiz from AARP. Wall Street is named after the Wall Street Journal. James Howard Wall, who conceived the short-lived $3 billion, the wooden wall built by the Dutch colonists to defend New York against invaders. What money question is on your mind? Which of those answers is true? Reach me now at 888-99-CHART. Okay, so what is Wall Street named after? And of course, you know, there is a street named Wall Street, okay? Just happens to be where the New York Stock Exchange is. Is it named after the Wall Street Journal? James Hartford Wall, who conceived of the short-lived $3 bill? The wooden wall built by Dutch colonists to defend New York against invaders. Well, it's the wooden wall built by the Dutch. That's the answer. It was built in 1653 to protect the colonists from the British and Native Americans. Okay, so it's really old. Really old. Now you know the story. Wall Street. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate the call.
Yes. I just wanted to find out if you thought Foot Locker, FL, was a value trap, or is it just because of the brick and mortar in Amazon?
Well, of course, it's been beat up by because of Amazon, and that's one of the problems with the Foot Locker and other companies like that, because you can order online. So you go into Foot Locker, you try on the shoes, you find out what you like, you leave the store, and then you order it online. And that's one of the problems that these stores are having. Now, Foot Locker has 3,363 mall-based athletic footwear apparel stores in the U.S., Canada, Europe, Australia. So the question they ask, is their business going to be destroyed by a new business model that Amazon is pushing, right? That's really the question. Because it looks really cheap. They're going to make $4.01 next year, and the stock is $31. So that's what, 8 PE or so? Now, this is the problem with that, Art. They used to make $4.83 in 2000. This year, they made $4.83. Last year, the year before, it's $4.29. So now, they're going down. The earnings are going down. Sales and earnings are starting to fall. That's your problem. And that's why it's cheap. So I probably stay away from it. I think it's more of a value trap, Art, because it looks very inexpensive. It does. But you got to decide. Do you think that business model is going to be okay? Or are they going to start closing stores and just shrink slowly like Sears or JCPenney? Or Macy's, all of them are shutting down stores. So now I probably stay away from it. I probably would.
Okay.
Thanks Art. Appreciate it. Symbols, FL, Foot Locker, everybody. Nothing wrong with the company. It's just that the business model is changing. Yeah, there's going to be winners. There'll be winners in this sphere. And there's going to be a lot of losers, too. And I don't know which ones are going to be the winners. The winners will probably be the ones who can figure out their own internet discounting sales and still make a living. That means they probably will reduce the number of stores. Think about what Walmart did, with their announcing concept about competing. Remember, Amazon bought Whole Foods, and everybody was worried that that's going to be, a game changer. And then Walmart announced how they're addressing it. And they have an app where you can order food. And they have pickup places where you can pick up the food. And they're going to spend a lot of capital making more pickup places. So that's how they're going to try to. See, whenever anybody tries to take over any industry, competition comes in. Something changes. It just is the natural order of things in a free economic system. It works great. It works great. Doesn't mean, there's not a lot of pain for a lot of people, getting laid off or whatever. There is. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the system works great because it benefits the most people and keeps things growing. Not all people. See, a lot of people think, well, a socialist system or a communist system is better because, it's fairer to the average person. Well, I submit that the communist system never worked because there was no incentive to improve yourself or your circumstances because you couldn't. So therefore, there was no incentive to, be better, faster, quicker. In a socialist system, well, you can argue that that might be better, but they also have high unemployment. The economies stagnate, and they don't have enough innovation. Than a freer economic system does. And that's just observation. Just look around. Just look at Europe and then look at China and then look at the history of Russia. Just look at the histories. And then histories of the economies, not the political system necessarily, of the economies. Who got hurt and who benefited the most in those systems? And then look at U.S. That's all I'm asking. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. I'd love to talk to you. 888-992-4278. What? We only have a minute left. So I'm going to talk about what is an inverse ETF, what to do if everything looks expensive as an investor, and how much is enough for retirement. How much? And then those are things we're going to talk about before the end of the hour, hopefully. You can reach me right now as we move into the second part of Invest Talk for the day. My direct line between 4 and 5 Pacific time is always the same, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. Whether you own real estate as an investment or simply as your residence, for most investors, matters of real estate ownership factor into all of our financial decisions. Making buying and selling decisions, considering your options, always part of the evaluation and management of your retirement portfolio, and it's one piece of the retirement puzzle that's often overlooked. It can be challenging. That's why KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff to help you make the important decisions about your home and your retirement. And to learn more about all of our KPP Financial services and investment programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. Now let's get back to the podcast. Now, let's get back to Invest Talk, answers to life's important money questions. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART. You can talk to Steve right now.
Hey, guys. Calling in from Minnesota here. Longtime listener. Love the show. Learn lots. I have a quick question for you guys. I'm interested in the EFT. The ticker symbol is FFTY. That's FFTY. I believe it's an IBD 50 holdings it is. Wondering what you guys thought of this EFT. Seems to have great holdings in that. The IBD's top 50, which probably are as good as you could get, probably has good dividends too, and I don't see what could be wrong with this one. Can you please give me your opinions on it, good and bad, and everything about it? Thanks. Look forward to hearing your answers. Have a great day.
Okay, it's an ETF. Not EFT, but ETF, exchange-traded fund, and the symbol is FFTY, Frank Thomas Y, headquartered in Philadelphia. ETF funds seek investment results corresponding to the IBD, that's Investors Business Daily newspaper, to the IBD 50 index for long-term capital appreciation. So what you really should find out is what are the 50 stocks, and how come they're in that index? What are the parameters of those stocks? And it looks like it's for cap appreciation, so they're looking for growth of the companies and the price of the stock to go up. And of course, it's going to go up with the market, and it has gone up with the market just like all the other indexes. So the question you should ask is what's inside that? What are those 50 stocks? And take a look at each individual stock and say, yeah, I do like an index with all those stocks in there. The good and the bad. The good is it goes up when the market goes up. The bad is it goes down when the market goes down, just like every index. But, you know, it's 50 of their top picks. And that tells you that they're probably pretty strong companies. So there's nothing wrong with owning this ETF, even though it's really tiny. Not too many people ever investing in it. I mean, when something does only when an index only does about 350,000 shares traded in a day, that's pretty small, just so you know. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what is an inverse ETF? You know, we just talked about the IBD ETF, but what's an inverse ETF? And very simply put, an inverse ETF is nothing more than an exchange-traded fund that operates in the opposite direction of the index it tracks. So if you have an inverse ETF in the S&P 500, That means it goes down exactly on a daily basis. It will go up exactly the amount that the S&P 500 goes down every day, or vice versa. The ETF will go down if the S&P 500 goes up. So what are some of the problems with this? Well, remember, it's going in the opposite direction, and the stock market has a long-term bias to the upside. So you really don't want to buy these for very long periods of time. You don't, because remember, the market has an upward bias. So you don't want to fight the bias over long periods of time. It just doesn't make sense. Usually, these inverse ETFs cost more. They have a higher expense ratio in general, you know, from 0.9 to 1.2%. I mean, and you got to, and be, these are, I'm talking about single inverse. There are double and triple leveraged inverse ETFs as well. And those get higher and higher risky. The riskiness goes up on those things. So you got to be careful. And before you go out and say, I want to buy a bunch of those, make sure that you have a need for it. It's a great hedging tool, but it's not an investment. It really is not an investment, because it's not investing into a company. It's just investing in the direction of the market, and it's betting against the direction of the market, which has that bias to go up. That's it. So it's not really an investment to hold for long term. That's when you buy something that has value, like a company, and the value is how much money they make and how much they are worth. Well, an inverse ETF is worth nothing, really. I have some new dates for retirement checkups. Are you on track to make your retirement plans come true? Could you use a tune-up, maybe a new approach? I will be meeting with listeners at our main office in Southern Orange County, California, on October 25th, then in San Jose on November 8th. And remember, personalized retirement portfolio reviews are available without charge, no matter where you live in the U.S. To schedule your own time, you can do it via a phone or on Skype. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then portfolio review.
Another benefit to joining our InvestTalk Insiders is that you have a key to a whole library of recorded webinars. The latest one on the basics of residential real estate investing is ready to play anytime. There are 13 in all. To become an InvestTalk Insider, just go to investtalk.com. No investment required. It's free.
Yes, this is Aubrey from New Orleans. I was calling about a speculative oil stock, DNR, and if you could just go into some detail about a good buy point, it's a long-term idea. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, DNR, Danbury Resources, Inc. It's a very small company of $507 million. It's engaged in the acquisition, exploration, development, and operation of oil and gas properties in the Gulf Coast region. Okay, they make money. They've made money for years. They just make a lot less money than they used to. I mean, in 2013, they made $1.46. That was the most they made in the last, I don't know, 18 years or so. $1.46 a share. Next year, they're going to make 10 cents a share. This year, they're going to make 2 cents a share. They've always made money, but they've had some hard times. Okay, so the stock is trading at $1.26 because of those hard times. And the highest it's ever gotten is $26 a share. And that was in 2011. And now it's $1.26. So it's going to make 10 cents a share. What's 10 cents a share worth? A 20 P means $2. This is going to be one of those that's going to be extremely volatile. As far as a long-term hold, it wouldn't be for me to hold it for long-term. You asked about a buy point. Well, I think it's bottomed. It bottomed a little before $1 a share back in the end of August. Went up to $1.50 or so. Now it's $1.26. It's right at a support level right here. So if you wanted to take a chance, you go ahead and buy it here, and you just keep hold on to it, even though, you know, until it dropped below its old low, and then you might get out. But, you know, I would not use very much money. It's really very speculative. Very speculative. I would be very, I would not buy it. But if you're going to buy it, this would probably be a buy point. But be ready to for it to go down, because it probably will go down more. These are so hard to judge because they're so tiny. Okay? Let's go to Jessica in San Diego. How are you doing, Jessica?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I love the show.
Thank you.
Okay. I do have a question about a pension.
Uh-huh.
My husband is going to receive a pension. It's just a small amount of money, mm-hmm. but I don't know what to do. There's an option on how to do it. They're saying that we are going to receive like $42.38 a month.
Okay.
Or take it as a lump sum.
Right.
Or roll over it to IRA.
Hmm. So it's either a pension, a certain amount of money. When does that start, that monthly money?
It's going to start on next month. November.
Next month. And how old are you guys? Are you in retirement age?
My husband's 58.
Okay. And what you have to do between the lump sum and the monthly payout is find out how determine from that lump sum based on how much it is, how much money can you make on that lump sum per year? And is it more or less than that monthly payment? And so you got to figure out, well, you know, if in the stock market, the average return is what, 8 to 10%? But I'd be a lot more conservative. I'd probably figure 4 or 5% return on that lump sum, however much it is, 5% of the number and versus getting $40 a month, which would be a better way to go about that. So that's usually how people do that math. And then you said you could either roll it over into an IRA. Now,
right.
Do you roll a lump sum into the IRA? Is that what they're saying? Or are you, see what I'm saying? I don't.
Yes, they'll send us the money, the money that's indicated on this pension form.
Yes.
And then we can roll that over, that money.
Okay. Well, that might be a good way to go, because then it can grow. You can put money out, without paying taxes on it, and put it. That might be something you got to consider because of the tax advantage. And you said you're 58. Is that how old your husband is? 50.
Yes.
Okay. So. You can let that money grow, and as long as you can let it grow till you're 7.5, and then he has to start taking that out with a required minimum distribution. But that way, you can let it grow over time, and not be taxed. If you get the $41 a month, that's not a lot of money. It's really not going to help you much, right? It's just not. So maybe that would probably be the least one I'd want to do. I think I'd want to maybe take the lump sum, roll it into an IRA, and try to grow it, unless you need the money. So
No, we do not.
Then I'd do it that way. I'd take the lump sum, roll it into the IRA if I can, and just try to grow it over the years and see if it turns into real money, that you might need later on when you're older.
Right, because if we are going to take the $42 a month, I know that's like a lifetime, but
it's not enough to help.
It's gonna grow.
Yeah, it's not gonna help you much. Jessica, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's always when you have those situations, you just gotta do the math, and then you have to look at your needs, your personal needs. And I always help people with it. And we just had to look at the documents. I wonder if one of the options was you could postpone getting the monthly payment until you're 65 or 67, full retirement age. I wonder if that was one of the options. I should have asked her. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you do if everything you look, when you're an investor, and you look, and everything's expensive. I can tell you things are expensive all the time, right? What do you do? Number one, you stay in stocks. You don't just sell out. But you also watch very carefully what you're allocated to. What are your allocations? What part of the markets are you in? And understand which part of the market's going to be more volatile than other parts of the market. Move away from overheated sectors. If there's a particular sector that is really overheated, move away from it because they will become underheated. They will cool off fast, and you want to capture the profits and roll them into something else. Don't go into bond funds, please. Don't do that. And don't worry if you have a lot of cash. Cash will be king. You'll get an opportunity someday to put that money to work. Don't. You know, Warren Buffett, you know, he gets money all the time from his insurance businesses. And he just lets it build. He lets it build and build and build until he finds a bargain. Or until a recession hits. See, don't panic just because you have cash. It's okay. I know it's not making anything, but it's still okay. And maybe own some gold positions of some kind. Might be a good idea. When everything is over, too expensive. Okay? Those are some of the things you can do to help when you can't find something to invest in necessarily because it's all expensive and pretty much expensive right now. There's some bargains, but they're hard. They're few and far between. Few and far between. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Here's an investing term you should know. What are preference shares? Preference shares. Preference shares, more commonly referred to as preferred stock, are shares of a company's stock with dividends that are paid out to shareholders before common stock dividends are issued. They act more like a bond. So if the company enters bankruptcy, the shareholders with preferred stock are entitled to be paid from company assets first before the common stockholders. Preferred stock. That's what they call preferred. Most preference shares have a fixed dividend. They don't float. It is fixed, while common stocks generally do not. Preferred stockholders also typically do not hold any voting rights. Common shareholders usually do. For more details, go to investopedia.com. You're listening to InvestTalk. Yesterday, we talked about the advantage of retirement investing for income. Did you have any questions about that? Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Dan in San Diego. He wants to talk about the Chinese government. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Steve. I know you do a lot of reading every day.
Yes, I do.
Have you read what the Communist Party Congress is proposing about being picking stakes?
Yes.
Particularly in internet companies.
I read that, yes.
Putting a government official on the board?
Yep.
What does that sound like to you?
Well, it's obviously it's a communist system. They're trying to work out some kind of free economic enterprise in a political system that's communist. So they don't match up very good because one is very dictatorial and one is free willing. You know, the economy should be let loose. So here for everybody else, let me mention it, Dan, that what they're doing is they're going to make a lot of their, like Baidu and Baba and all those big Chinese internet companies, they're going to force them to have a Chinese ownership of, I think it was 1-2%, but also have a Chinese official on their board of directors. Well, obviously they want control, right? They want to have their hands, because they're worried about internet being out of control because it's a free willing space. And so, I read that and I thought, how's that going to affect the rest of us investors who invest in Chinese companies? And I don't see any way where it would be good, Dan, for the companies. I don't see that. But I thought that was interesting.
righty. Well, thank you, Steve. I just wanted to bring that up.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Dan. Good call. Anna in Palo Alto. How you doing, Anna?
Hi. Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Excellent. I am on my cell driving, so I'm enjoying your show, and I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
Let me. Am I allowed to give out dollar numbers? I mean, you don't know me.
Sure.
So, okay, good. Safe to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Just don't give us your last name.
Earlier. Cool. So I'm going to lay it all out on the table. I've been seeking advice. I've been struggling with this for a little while. So one is, I heard your show, well, the talk about an hour ago with respect to the interest only and then upcoming maturing equity line of credits. So I'm one of those where I had the equity line interest only, and then it's now I'm paying principal and interest, and I'm managing the monthly payments just fine. I am concerned that he indicated that, you know, we can expect the prime to rise at least three times next year is what I've been thinking about as well. So the question is, my equity line is about $170,000. I have enough savings to pay that off, right? So I would take what I have in my savings of $100,000 and then tap into what was money is put into a IRA, which is just sitting flat right now. I haven't invested it because I haven't decided what to do with it. And yes, I'd probably have to pay the penalties. But I could take some of that money and pay off the entire equity line of credit. So it's like, do I or do I not? But here's the caveat. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm listening.
There's a lot. Okay, so caveat is that I worked for a company for 16 years. 1,500 employees were laid off. They're offshoring the work to Singapore, Denver, Texas. So I am now currently working a contract gig where, you know, you just, it's a six-month gig and you get paid hourly and that's what you get.
Right.
So I'm one hand, want to keep that money reserved until I land a permanent position.
Let me ask you
a
question.
On the other hand,
let me ask you a question.
Go ahead,
do you own a house?
Yes, I do.
How much equity is in the house?
Well, supposedly it's appraised for a boatload of money, so a lot of equity.
Why wouldn't you not consider then?
The
why are you not considering borrowing, refinancing the house and taking equity out, pay that line of credit off, because that's probably a much higher interest rate, and you can get a lower interest rate, and you get the write-off. You know, the interest that you're paying in a mortgage. Have you considered? Anna, I'm out of time, but, you know, if you want to talk about this, you can give me a call at the office. I'll be happy to talk to you about this and get all the details.
All right.
Okay, my number is 800-557-5461. 800-557-5461. Just ask for me. You'll get me. Thanks for the call, Anna. I appreciate it. Time's up for the hour, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KVP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Glad you came. Glad you came to be with me today. I appreciate it. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being here. And let's do it again tomorrow. I like that. A reminder, if you live in Southern California, I have meetings scheduled in Dana Point office October 25th and San Jose on November 8th. Just check my calendar. Go to investtalk.com.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.